As we just dedicated members of the official board, I want to share with you a passage about serving, being ministers of Christ among us. It is very important for us to look to scriptures and see what God has to say regarding the serious subject of serving. Before we read a passage together, I would invite you to join with me in prayer. We pray from time to time throughout the service because we know that without relying on God, we can go in any directions we want, but it is going to be a fruitless and unhelpful direction. So let us turn to the Lord Jesus and join me in a word of prayer now. Father, we give you thanks because we see that you are raising up men and women to serve in all areas of your church. Some we see often, others we hardly think of. But we thank you, O Lord, that they are doing so because they love you and because they are faithful to you. We pray, O Lord, that you will continue to make this church a church that will bring you joy, a church that would minister in the name of the Lord Jesus to others, and a church that is broken, because by being broken, we can experience that much more of you. And now as we look to scriptures, we pray, O Lord, that you would give us wisdom, discernment, and also humility. Build us up, O Lord, with your word. For this we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Today, just now, we dedicated the 2015 official board. You know, as a church, we must always to give thanks for brothers and sisters of the official boards, for people who serve on ministry teams, for those who labor week after week in committee duties, for small groups, and for anyone who serve at CCC. Because we recognize that, you know, they are all doing it out of a willing heart. They do it because of their relationship with the Lord Jesus. I invite you now to turn to an example of serving in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, 1 to 5. We're going to look at Paul's writing and learn from him and his ministry team what servants of God are like. So right now, let us read the Word of God together. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Let's read the Word of God out aloud with unison. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very much if I'm judged by you or by any human. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness, and we expose the motive of man's heart. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Paul says that he and those who serve in his ministry team are servants, but he makes it very clear that they are servants of Christ. The Greek word that he used here is huperates. It literally means under rowers. Now, Paul was using an idea that to him and many people in his days, you know, was a clear example. But perhaps the term doesn't mean so much to us today. What exactly was Paul talking about? To the people of Paul's day, they knew what he was talking about and they knew that it was a very picturesque, very descriptive, and very vivid term. It was also a very serious term. The city of Corinth, back in those days, sat on a narrow stretch of land, joining the southern peninsula to the mainland. In Paul's time, Corinth as a city was very cosmopolitan, a little bit like New York or Shanghai today. It also had a canal serving many vessels. So in that sense, it was also a little bit like Panama Canal. The most common vessels of those days that people typically saw were the big warships. These are the vessels equipped with anywhere from 1 to 3 levels of rowers, one above another. And slaves were used to pull the oars to propel the vessel forward. And the slaves who served on the lowest deck of the ship, not deck one, not the middle deck, but the lowest deck of the ship, and they were usually, you know, sitting chained to their position, they were called the huperates, the servants. These are the people Paul had in mind when he used the word servants. It is not the usual word for servant, doulos, meaning bond servant, bond slave, that Paul would usually use. This is another word meaning servants. But these are the servants who would sit chained at the ankles to the vessels, you know, rowing the ship day and night. The under rowers' job at the bottom of the ship was usually grim, hopeless, and it was a permanent job. There was very little relief for them, and most of them would die in service. And the chains around their ankles would oftentimes remind them that they are servants permanently to the vessel and to their bosses. When Paul was using this term to describe that he and his ministry teams are servants of Christ, huperates, under rowers, he had at least 5 areas that he wants to emphasize. And these are the things that not just members of the official boards, but you and I can emulate too. First, the slaves or the servants chained to the ship, propelling the vessel forward. They row to the captain's beat. They have to row, they have to work in sync with the captain's beat. The captain sometimes has to command as many as 150 people, 150 oarsmen working together. They have to row in sync based on the rhythm that the captain would sound off on the drum. And each and every slave in the galley had to pull on their oar in time, in sync with the beat. So they have to work in sync with the captain. They cannot work independently of the captain. Number 2, the slaves had to learn to row together. There is teamwork involved. Sometimes on the larger ship, the oars were as long as 30 feet. Just one single oar is as long as 30 feet. And it takes 3 slaves to handle that one single oar. And all 3 slaves had to learn to work as a team together. They have to learn what teamwork means. And the 3rd implication using this term, servants of Christ, as far as Paul is concerned, is that, you know, the slaves, the servants, had to trust the captain. You have to remember that they are at the lowest deck of the vessel. They couldn't see a thing. It was dark, it was wet, it was smelly, it was unhealthy down there. They have no idea where the vessel was going. They have no idea whether it was day or night. They have no idea when the vessel would arrive. The slaves have to rely completely on the captain. They have to look to the captain. They have to receive commands and orders from him. Their only job, apart from rowing, was to obey the beats of the captain's drum. And number 4, the implication is that the slaves were committed for lives. There was a very cruel way of reminding them that they are servants, bond servants, you know, bond slaves forever. Because they would sit on damp, hard surfaces, not to mention that it is very uncomfortable. Furthermore, they were chained at the ankles, permanently to the ship. If the vessel went down in a storm or in battle, usually the slaves would go down as well, and there was no way of escape. So they're permanently, in a way, committed to the job. And finally, the slaves receive no personal recognition or honor. Only the captain of the vessel was visible to the people outside. Although it takes many people to move the vessel forward, but they are never seen, never acknowledged. They row on day after day, night and day, invisible and unrewarded by others. And if by chance you saw an oarsman, a rower like that, usually it means that, you know, that particular person was not where he was supposed to be, down at the bottom of the vessel. These are truly the unsung heroes in Paul's day. So in his letter to the church, the believers in Corinth, Paul provided a portrait, a description that was very vivid, very meaningful to the people of his day, and it should remain meaningful to us today. Paul said that it was a description of himself. Paul looked at himself and his ministry team. It could be Tychicus, you know, it could be Aristarchus. Paul looked at he and his teams as people like slaves chained at the anchor, permanently to the vessel and in obedience to the captain of the vessel. He says that, you know, it was very much like that for them, and it also ought to be the same for us. What can we learn about Paul's description of this term? Not doulos, not bond slave, but people who serve in very uncomfortable places, hard struggles, unrecognized, unrewarded, unappreciated. And sometimes there's always the danger of losing your life. Paul says that, you know, from these examples, we need to remember that Jesus is the captain of our vessel. When we serve together, it doesn't matter who you are. It could be pastors, it could be elders, it could be deacons and deaconesses. We all need to take our lessons from these under rowers. What can we do? We can learn to be humble. We can learn to be submissive, because as these slaves look to the captain, we need to look to God. We need to pray and come before God and pause and ask God to give us visions, directions, confirmation. We need to work and learn to work in teams. We need to learn to appreciate one another. We want to be sensitive to those around us, but it is not sensitive in the sense that, you know, oh boy, he's saying something that I don't like, you know, could he be aiming at me? Could he be implying this? It's not that kind of sensitivity. It is an edifying type of sensitivity. It is a caring type of sensitivity. It is God making us aware of what might be wrong and how to address it in a way that will build up one another, in a way that will not lead to division, to misunderstanding. We need to learn how to be edifyingly sensitive as we work together in a team. We also need, like the slaves, to trust the captain. We may not know where we are going. We may not know what time of the day or night it is, but as long as we look to the captain, let him make the decision, and we learn later on from him. Definitely, the slaves were dedicated. They were permanent slaves. They would like to be free, but they have no choice. And like them, we do not want to be free of the Lord Jesus. We want to labor for him our whole life. They were also humble. They were not allowed to have any of the glory and honor and recognitions. And as we serve the Lord Jesus in the church, the church is not a place for personal agenda. The church is not a place for individual fame. The church is a place for giving fame and honor to the Lord Jesus. There's a lot of things we can learn from this picture. But one of the big differences between servants of Christ, we today, and the galley slaves, is that the slaves serve because they have no choice and they serve out of fear to the captain. But we disciples of the Lord Jesus, we want to serve out of a willing and loving relationship with the Lord Jesus, who is our leader. And this is why Paul wrote again to the same group of believers sometime later in 2 Corinthians. Paul told them, we serve, why? Because the love of the Lord Jesus constrains us. The love of the Lord Jesus compels us. The love of the Lord Jesus drives us forward. And that's why we serve. So Pastor Richards and I want to encourage us, the board members, ministry teams, committees, everyone here at CCC, to cultivate a loving relationship with the Lord Jesus first. Give yourselves, give ourselves first and foremost to God. And as a result of that, let us serve Him. Let all honors and credits go to God, because it is He who put us together. So there's a very simple request today. We are all ministers, we are all servants, and Jesus alone is the master. Pray for this church. Pray that it would grow, and pray that, you know, people would see more and more Jesus in their lives and Jesus in the midst of the Chinese Community Church. Let us close in prayer. Father God, we thank you because we know that it is a great privilege for you to count us as your fellow servants, knowing that we are unworthy and we are weak, but we want to come before you, not just thanking you for involving us, but we also ask, O Lord, that you would equip and prepare us. Thank you once again, O Lord, for the many, many unsung heroes of brothers and sisters here and outside the church. And we pray, O Lord, that as we minister together, cause us to grow, cause us to be a blessing to others, and cause us, Father God, to bring Jesus, to be Him, one to another. Because this is the great commission and the great commandment that you've given to us. So we give you thanks, O Lord, because we know that you have heard our prayers and you would answer them, for we want to honor you. In His name we pray. Amen.